Good evening. We'd like to welcome everyone to our work session of the City Council meeting of July 15th, 2025. Our first item is a discussion with Brighton regarding the Clifton Place commercial use property. So I'll turn over to Sherry.
I'll just give you a little brief background before I turn some time over to the developers to have this discussion with you. So Clifton Place is a P district over on Redwood Road and 1100 North. It consists of two parcels. There's the north parcel and there's the south parcel. When they originally came in and got the general development plan approved, it was for the north and the south parcel. And you can see that there on the screen on the left. That's what the general development plan looks like for that particular development. So as they move forward with this development and they move forward with preliminary plat and then final plat approval, they didn't close on the south portion of the property. They only closed on the north portion. They were two separate owners and they have an extended purchase agreement on the south. So the only part of the development agreement right now that is in effect is the north. There's a statement in the development agreement that says we expect to see an amendment to the development agreement in the future to include the south parcel. So I just want to make that perfectly clear. We haven't negotiated anything into a development agreement formally for the south portion. So their idea for the general development plan was that they would have commercial on the north side. That would be about 2 acres in size. We kind of estimated it would be maybe one or two standalone businesses or a couple of small strip mall type businesses, maybe a drive-through. And then they had an acre on the south side that would also be commercial, and the rest of it would be townhomes. So in pursuit of commercial development on that north side, on that 2 acres that they have there, it's actually about 1.87 acres because there was a road dedication for the trail to UDOT, so that includes our trail in there in the right-of-way. So it's just a little bit smaller than 2 acres, but they were pursuing a use of a private pickleball club that was interested in that site. As the DRC reviewed that, the building just really didn't fit on that site. And so for parking and everything, and so we said, well, maybe you should consider looking at the south side because you haven't done anything with that yet. Maybe we can reevaluate that. So they submitted this proposal for the south side. There would be a proposal for the north side to put townhomes in place of the commercial on the north side and move all of the commercial to the south on about 2.5 acres. So it's a slight reduction in the total acreage of the entirety of the project for the north and south to get combined. So the DRC has reviewed this, and the DRC has some concerns. The biggest concern is probably compatibility, whether this type of use having people there playing pickleball, and it attracts a lot of tournaments and a lot of activity there, a lot of parking, that there could be conflicts between that use and the use for residential in the townhomes. Then these are for sale townhomes. And I did put, on this next slide, I zoomed it in a little bit so you could just see the two south sides and see what is approved in the general development plan and what is what they're proposing tonight. So they've changed this up a little bit. We are concerned about the use conflicts. We're concerned about parking. We have historically not done a good job at parking these types of facilities. The volleyball facility is one that you might remember that is vastly underparked. This is, as the proposal lays right now, is much better than that situation at the volleyball, but there's still that level of uncertainty. How much traffic does this generate for the tournament function of that? And then the other question, of course, is the compatibility. So those really are the two biggest issues that the DRC has. A developer wanted to come and ask the council what your thoughts were on this particular proposal and see if you would give them direction to move forward with it or not. Do you have any specific questions for me about what's in the development agreement? I'm happy to answer them now, or if they come up after the discussion with the developer, I'd be happy to answer them at that point too.
Thank you, Sherry. I want to clarify a couple of things. The original plan has already been amended, and the south lot will have to generate a new development plan anyway, correct?
Yes.
And so the original plan and what we're looking at here on the left that shows the commercial does not show the extent of the commercial that is intended to be there because it's already changed from the original plan. Is that correct?
No, on this, the what you're seeing there on the left is the original plan with the commercial on the corner and the parking lot behind. So that was the general development plan. That's what's approved in the general development plan, but it's not part of the development agreement yet. It's part of the overall concept, but the parcel itself is not part of the development agreement because the developer hadn't finished the purchase from Mr. Hunt on that property.
So we aren't required to change. I mean, if I remember at one point, the changes were going to take some of the commercial that is in the northern side and now move it over to the south side.
Yes.
Is that correct?
So specifically what they're asking for is when they come forward with an application, they would be asking to amend the general development plan, which would be to replace what's on the south side with what you're seeing there on the right screen. And they would also be asking for an amendment to the general development agreement on the north parcel. And in lieu of the commercial on the north parcel, they would put townhomes on that and then put all of the commercial on the south property.
And it would be a net loss of commercial in that change. Is that correct?
In acreage, yes.
Okay. And then one last question is, in the plan and the proposal on the right, the parking lot is abutted to Redwood Road. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Then thank you very much.
I have two questions. So what is the net loss acreage specifically?
About a half acre. Yeah. So they had 2 acres on the north and 1 acre on the south, and this would be about 2.47 acres in commercial.
All together.
Yes.
And then it's a little bit hard to read, but how many parking stalls were originally slated? It looks like there's 15 in the new map, but what's the net parking loss that we're looking at?
Well, so that's kind of hard to equate.
It's not apples to apples.
But yeah, it's not apples to apples because it would have been a much smaller building on the south. They're proposing about 100, I think it's 151 parking spaces for this facility on the south for the 16 units. 16 courts, excuse me, the 16
okay.
courts.
So are these parking spots clear over on the, I don't know, there's the east?
They wrap all the way around the building.
Okay, so that's intended for commercial parking, or are they
Yes, that would be
dual?
Their intent. Okay. Well, so the intent is that it would be enough for the commercial parking if there were off times when the commercial parking was not in use and the residents needed some overflow parking, there would be a cross easement parking agreement. In this case, it would probably be very difficult to discern the times of days when who was parking where, if it was residents, guests, or if it was people at the pickleball courts, just because of the nature. So if you look at like the development right across the street that Brighton did, they have offices on the building on the corner, and then they have a big parking lot in the back. So during the day, Monday through Friday, the office buildings have 100% use of that parking lot. After 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. the following morning and 7 p.m. on Friday through the whole weekend, the residents who live in those townhomes, they can have their guests park in that parking lot. So that's the way the shared agreement works. And that's a good way. It's a really good example because it doesn't have a parking problem. We don't have a lot of overflow, mm-hmm. Except for when they were repaving the other day and we all had to park out on the streets. But because the offices are, their prime peak use is during the day, and peak use for the residents is in the evenings and the weekends. So that's really what the DRC's concern is with the parking for this particular facility or proposal, would be that the peak times would match. So the peak times for pickleball tournaments, which would be the largest draw of traffic, would be the same peak times as you would have residents there. So that would be evenings and weekends.
And the developer may have this in their presentation, but have we looked at other facilities, comparable pickleball facilities, to understand what their peak usage is? Are they drawing, for example, the rec center gets about 1,400 people a day spread out through the day. Do we know that kind of a...
We don't know
what peak
exactly that, those numbers yet. If this is something that you wanted us to go and move forward with the developer, then we would do that research. We've been trying to gather it, but it's very difficult to compare sites to sites because most of the other pickleball courts we find are not adjacent to residential. They may be close to residential, but they're not sharing the same parking accesses. So finding one that's exactly the same is a little bit challenging, but if this moves forward, we certainly will do that research. And in fact, we will require the developer to do a parking, hire a professional parking analysis done.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether 100 stalls that are designated for the commercial is an adequate, you know, average. Obviously, tournaments, like you said, would...
Yeah.
Draw more, but there's 18 courts approximately.
Yeah, there's 18 courts. So if you think of 18 courts, you have four players. Mm-hmm. Did those four players all come in the same car? If they didn't, which they, a lot of them probably did not come in the same car. So you're talking four cars, but then you have the next group of players that are there waiting for their turn. So there's some overlap. There's always going to be a little bit of overlap. And then if they're during tournaments, that's the time when people hang around and watch because if they're playing in the tournament and they win, then they have to wait for the next group that wins to figure out who they're playing. And, well, you know how tournaments work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Clarification, I think it says here there's 16 courts.
16, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, you're correct, 16.
Any other questions on this?
In the discussion of the general plan, back when this was originally proposed and there were two commercial spots, was there any discussion on what type of commercial the city was hoping to get?
Yes. So we had a list of uses that we looked at that for that place. And we had on the list car wash, daycares, entertainment or recreation, financial services, gas stations, general office space, general retail, hardware stores, medical offices, neighborhood retail, personal and professional services, and restaurants. And what you can see from this drawing is you can see that they're kind of two, on the north side, you have those two commercial buildings. They sited them out, hoping that they would get something similar to what's in front of Lee's Marketplace with the pad buildings that have multi-tenants. Maybe they would have a drive-through on one or the other or both. So they've drawn them with drive-throughs. And then they were on the south side, a similar size building, maybe it was a little bit bigger than each of the other two buildings on the north side, but generally small neighborhood type retail is what we were envisioning. And when we thought about recreation, we were thinking and fitness, it could be a yoga studio, it could be like axe throwing or things like that that go into smaller pad sites. We weren't picturing a really big and solely one recreation facility. Leastwise, I wasn't visioning that. I don't think the Planning Commission was either. Okay. Would you like to hear from the developer?
Yes, please.
And these are slides they prepared.
Yeah. I'm John Block with Brighton Homes. Hi. So I guess for some context to start, and I'm going to use the clicker. So we've been working on Clifton for a while, obviously. We're glad to have seen some traction. We've had our first few closings in the last, we started closing in the May timeframe and have been seeing for a slow market, pretty good market sales, and I think homebuyers are pretty happy. So generally, we're really happy with this project. And the commercial, we closed on the property fully intending to do what we had depicted on the commercial. So we immediately began marketing it and brought in three different developers that we had personal relationships with that are active in the space. And one after another, their interest levels just started dropping out, and we're then starting to get a little bit worried about how this was going to perform. We then hired a listing broker. He's the same guy that's in charge of the Lee's Marketplace, and he started actively marketing the commercial. And the intent is we want a use that goes well with our unit sales. That is, I think we have the same incentives there. So in doing so, we're looking at neighborhood retail, fast food, medical office, just trying to, here's the development agreement. It's pretty accepting of uses. Give us what you got. And to date, we haven't received any offers or really even any hot lead beyond, we'll take a look. After kind of exhausting our efforts, we're realizing we can't really sit on this indefinitely. We don't really feel like Foxborough's adding a ton of traffic. It's kind of in an isolated area, and that tend to be the complaints that we got from people looking at the project. And we decided that we'd take a harder look at what is a use that we could try to reel in ourselves. And so we started talking with this pickleball franchise user. They have a performing asset in Boise, Idaho, and it's kind of like considered a Class A facility that's a bit of a draw. And we started going down this rabbit hole with the DRC. They've expressed to us their concerns pretty clearly, and we agree with a lot of them and want to collaborate with you guys and see if there's solutions to these before we take it much further and spend too much time and waste some time here. So beyond that, we have this pickleball presentation. There's also some considerations at looking at this commercial as, regardless of the use, potentially just a consolidation of the commercial to the south generally. The reason why I mention that is the south is a little bit better trafficked corner. Out of the four corners in the intersection, that's the feedback we've gotten. The best one is the south east, and then ours on the southwest, and then the northeast, and then the northwest, in that order of what's preferred by people. The other thing that this potentially could solve is we've had a few uses come in. Again, they didn't take a very hard look, but it was a non-starter because the depth of the north commercial is just not super deep. And we found that when we tried to lay out the pickleball facility on the north, it really just wasn't giving us the depths with the road dedication we needed. Does anyone have any questions? You can stop me. Oh, I can't really read this, but essentially, I think Sherry did a good job in the context of what we're looking for here. No offers. We're trying to get some traction on something. There's the location. It's under the P District. As you can see, now we have the townhomes going, but there's not a whole lot of activity going on as far as commercial activity. That should have probably been a red flag to us when we signed up to do this, but we came in with a little more confidence than we probably should have had. Here's the original. I wanted to clarify, it's 1.87 and then 1. Sherry did mention that with the road dedication. And then that's a 2.87 is what it's platted or at least drawn out to be. And then the south goes to 2.74. That's if you kind of draw a line in the sand in the middle of the road. So the net loss is not super substantial, but still a net loss. I think if you're looking at it from a square footage standpoint, there's obviously a huge square footage bump in the commercial area that we felt like offset that pretty heavy, but obviously that's just dependent on the use that goes in there. So if you could look at it through both of those lenses, the pickleball use is what we're pursuing, but there would be some major benefits to us to just to have the room or this commercial room to work within to try to come up with another concept. Another thing I'll point out, and maybe Karen can speak to this a little more, but from UDOT, they'd prefer to see our commercial access be further from the acceleration lane of that right-hand turn on 1100 North. And they have a lot of criteria, I guess, but they would prefer that to be pushed down. We talked about the 151 dedicated stalls. We're open to talking about whatever we need to for parking. We know that's the main concern with the Club V issues that we've had in the city. And we've toured that facility. I think I kind of have a slide that covers this a little better. Our user, their concept's name is the Flying Pickle. They tend to have a ratio between 6 and 8 stalls per court. And they're an operator who want to prioritize their patrons. And that's always worked out for them well. We're showing here the ratio that I've provided, I think, is 9.4. Does that say on there somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah, 9.4 per court. And that would still, on the previous slide where it shows the whole layout, we'd meet our parking requirements on the townhomes if we dedicate all 151 stalls to this facility. So it's not that it's 9.4 was shared or anything like that. We'd have 2 dedicated uses, all meeting what we think is a reasonable amount of parking for the site. The other thing I'll point out is pickleball or not, but in pickleball, the use is fairly spread out throughout the day. It's not a youth thing that's after school only or on weekends only. We do get a lot of seniors, and from what we've heard from this person we're trying to partner with, is that 10 a.m. actually ends up being their peak hours for their fully booked courts. 10 a.m. on weekdays is when the older folks that have time to play a lot of pickleball come, and they hang out for hours and play multiple rounds and whatever they do. So we've already got a parking study ready to pull the trigger on with Hales Engineering. Happy to do that based on your guys' feedback. Don't know what we'll find from that, but hopefully that will be telling. And we think this is a good use that gives us some traction in the area. We're really just trying to come up with solutions. Probably not a ton of information I need to go over on this, but I actually have a question
on that previous picture. I know that with a lot of these kind of facilities, there are eating establishments. Is it a possibility to, rather than make it an internal, solely internal eating establishment, that this could be more of a mixed use by making an external eating establishment and maybe even adding on another external commercial use? Is there a reason why 16 courts? Is that for regulation tournaments, or
no,
is that necessary?
I think there's an economies of scale that so originally the corporate franchise, the Flying Pickle that we've been collaborating with, they wanted 18, and if we couldn't get 18, they didn't want to do it. They ran the numbers, and they said 16 is still scaled to the point that it works for them, but any less than that, they're really not interested in the site. If I'm being honest, the reason why I'm mentioning the consolidation of the commercial on its own is based on how expensive first-generation commercial is to develop. We don't even know if this is going to actually go. We just have some pencils to paper that says that this is a good direction to head. And so that's the only traction we've had, and so we're kind of just trying to make something of it. So as far as moving for external uses, I think, I don't know if this is open to the public or just patrons only, one way or the other. I think we could talk to them about that, but they have pretty specific design criteria that they try to stick to. They're almost like perfectionists in their layouts and things like that. And it all, that was originally when we were looking at it more from just an entrepreneurial standpoint of like, what would it take to get a pickleball facility? That was one of our thoughts, is do like either a standalone cafe off the corner or something that has a separate entrance that's attached. Mm-hmm. So we've definitely had that thought. I don't know if this user would care, but that's probably a bit too in the weeds for this conversation, but we can definitely bring it up.
I think that would perhaps address some of, I know the concerns addressing our master plan, that we're trying to get more mixed use, more restaurants, more amenities for especially the Foxborough residents.
I think to take up
all the amenities in one, you know, facility is a little problematic, but maybe if there's a win-win where we could make the amenities external, so that both patrons and residents could use those amenities, that might be helpful.
I think that would for sure be our ideal as well for our residents. And I think we could look at that. I just don't know if this exact concept would support it. The one thing I will say is if they did go forward, hopefully that would attract some, we keep hearing from the brokers like, oh, if McDonald's takes the corner, if someone, it's going to bring some momentum. And that's part of what I would say to that is maybe this is an attraction enough that now a national user looks at the corner adjacent and says, oh, that's worth putting something on because they've got increased traffic counts or I don't know what, but.
There is an application for a McDonald's across the street from this property right now. Yeah. So that I do think there is some interest in commercial development there. It's McDonald's has already asked us if they could build there. Is there somebody here from the pickleball company? Or I have a couple questions pretty specific to that.
We've been meeting with them pretty extensively because it would be a joint venture.
Could I maybe ask? I don't know if, do you have any idea what the cost will be? The price, is it like a club membership or is it like a individual fee?
So online, I'm not sure if their rates would vary for this location, but it's a monthly membership price. And I think it's a fairly expensive rate, based on what I pay for my gym membership. But I think it's around $130 for like the all-inclusive pro membership. If you go to their website, it tells you. But that like allows you to bring guests and things like that. The feedback we got is it becomes such a part of people's social lives, this sport, since it's so accessible to all walks of life, that even though it's a little bit more of an expensive monthly expense, people fit it into their budgets kind of no matter what, because it's the thing that they love to do. So it's a passion-driven expense. And I think the pool runs pretty deep on who'd be willing to, you know, drive 10 minutes from, we have a pretty good range of 10-minute drivers, 20-minute drivers that would, if this is surrounding their social life, would be a pretty good amenity to them.
Yeah, and that leads to what would be my next question, which would be a percentage of how many of the patrons tend to be from the local community versus how many are regional that are driving in. And then what I would love as a message for this pickleball company is that I would love to have them in North Salt Lake, and I hope that they will develop here. I do not think this is the right place for that, but the council has spoken many times about our interest in supporting and attracting commercial development, and if they want to stay in this city, I want to talk about other spaces that might be a great fit for this on the other side of Redwood Road in the industrial area. One thing about this neighborhood that you talked about, it is quite isolated. And because it's so isolated, there in our intentions in the development plan, we wanted neighborhood retail, so that people who live there have businesses that are serving the people who live there. And I see this as something serving a more regional patron pool, and that does not fit, in my opinion, with the intent of what these commercial spaces were meant to be. And while I think pickleball courts and this company in particular seems fantastic, I have a variety of reasons why I don't think this is the right space for that we can go through, but I could also love to hear from the other council members, and we can go into those details if it matters.
I've got a couple of questions, and you maybe half answered one.
Okay.
Joint venture, you're partnering with this company?
Yeah, so in order to make this concept work, and again, this is probably too in the weeds, but happy to talk about it. We've really got to, there's not enough upside in just the real estate venture of the building itself. There has to be operation. So we're sticking our necks out pretty big to even make this happen. So underwriting it at basically what we owe on the land, not making any money, as well as the retail, or excuse me, the commercial building. And in order to make it work, we can't just build them a facility and rent it to them because there's not any return on that. So we're trying to get it to work, so to speak. And it would require a Brighton partnership with the corporate.
But so. the facility itself, it seems like it'd be kind of tough to repurpose it if it.
Yeah, so failed. We've thought about that a lot as well. So the three rough order of magnitude proposals we've gotten from the contractors in the state that do these sort of facilities, the backup plan would be to do future demise the building. And so they actually like build in block outs and stuff like that, and you can chop it up into smaller retail areas and things like that. Yeah. So that would be a backup plan, but I mean we would be in a pretty big world of hurt to get to that point, I think. So
the other question I had, you mentioned they're in Boise.
Correct.
And I'm not sure the demographics in Boise, but I know I've got quite an active neighborhood group that plays pickleball for free at the cultural hall.
Right.
And so I don't know if that goes on in Boise necessarily, but it seems like to me that, and I'm talking about fairly affluent people.
Totally.
And I don't see them driving 10 minutes and paying $130 a month when they can play for free next
right.
door.
And we're getting how many new courts in Hatch Park? Yeah, so.
Eight. Woods Cross has six or
those
eight.
Those are discussions there. We've had with the corporate franchisee a lot, and they have not seen that to be the case just because it's a whole different level of experience.
Okay.
People that are.
And the wintertime.
And the summertime. We don't get a ton of non-windy, non-hot, non-cold days in Utah. And so indoor ends up being a consistent way for people to get their fix of that. So
I can add, just for what it's worth, that I did receive two texts today from neighbors. Neighbors that I know primarily from the gym. And they both mentioned that they had heard wind of this project being presented, and they both pled with me to vote yes. And they said they really, really, this community really, really would like a facility like this. I think a lot of them drive to Farmington for...
I think the closest one is Kaysville.
Or Kaysville, that's what it was.
Similar facility.
Kaysville.
And a lot of people do drive that far that don't have keys to the churches, or it's a cold day or whatever.
For what it's worth.
I do have a question. excuse me for the voice. But I just wondered, do you have others or any projects that have been completed and how popular they are? And is there any that are in this kind of an area that's around the residential? Because as I was thinking... maybe some people also would think that it was part of the Clifton Place, part of their living there.
Interesting.
HOA or amenities?
Yeah, part of their, HOA would, sure. Just wondered about that.
I would hope that we get as much foot traffic from the Clifton Place residents as possible. That would be the idea, obviously, with any commercial that goes in there. As far as... what was the rest of your question?
Well, I just wondered if when people saw it, if they thought that it was part of Clifton Place and not just anybody is welcome there.
I don't know if that would be a concern of mine necessarily. We'd get a lot of I think a lot of the marketing, I'm not an expert in this by any means, I'm a land guy, but I think the marketing and stuff would be done at a pretty large base until we hit our occupancy numbers or our fully membership numbers or things like that. I see it being, there is some, obviously, like the way we have it laid out, it's in adjacent to the townhomes, but with the frontage that it has on Redwood Road and the parking, I think it will look fairly standalone commercial when it's actually complete. Another thing I'd wanted to mention, just something I'm talking about the townhomes, is the height of the building shouldn't surpass the height of the town, so the three-story townhomes in the area. So it's not like we're massing this area way up from what's already been approved. I think the clear height of inside the units needs to be about 25 feet, and our top of parapet will be somewhere between 5 and 7 feet higher than that. And then the townhomes, I think the top of the peak is between 35 and 37 feet. So the massing of it, I think one of Ken's comments was to pull it off the road a little bit, so we're not right on Redwood Road, and then to give ourselves as much separation from the townhomes as possible to eliminate canyon effects and so forth. I know that wasn't your question, but we were talking about townhomes, so.
I have a couple more comments if no one else does. I'm not certain why this property is underwater financially, where you're not going to be able to recover your purchase costs. I feel like in the last few years since you purchased this property, we've only seen that those purchase prices go up, and you're building and selling at a very peak market right now, brand new townhomes, which seems like you would be getting a great return on your investment for having purchased that property previously. So for me to make a change in this commercial, I would need to see a little bit more evidence that that really is the case. And then I also wonder about the rent. So the commercial spaces at Lee's are all full. So is the commercial rent that you're asking at a different rate than the rental spaces at Lee's? We are getting a McDonald's across the street. So other commercial seems to be willing and interested in coming into that space. So I'm not certain why you're not able to find those. And you don't have to answer for those, but this is just a consideration of the kinds of information that I would need to feel convinced about if I were to change my mind on this. And then the second thing that I just want to say is we've loved having Brighton develop many projects in our city, but one thing that I feel like I've observed as a council member is that the original plans created for these mixed-use homes from Brighton that include commercial always change, and we never quite get the commercial that we were intended. Across the street, the commercial turned into office space, right, which isn't problematic, but it definitely doesn't hit the intent of neighborhood retail, which is a stated intent from the code, from the planning commission, from the council. And over here, the commercial ended up being Airbnbs that are now being rented out and being considered hotels. Again, not meeting the intent of that neighborhood retail space. And I feel like that's what this project is doing as well. Not meeting the intent of that commercial space, which is neighborhood retail. Yeah. I also think, speaking to the council, in this neighborhood, $130 a month for a private club is going to feel out of touch from most of their lifestyles, and they will see that the city took a space that could have been retail for their community and sold it out to wealthier people to come into their community and use. There will be many people in Foxborough who love pickleball and will be delighted it's here. Some of them may choose to spend that much to go to it, but I'm not sure it's meeting the local demographic right there. I would love to see this, though, pushed a little bit east to the industrial area in the city.
I think you're making really good points for your constituents, so I totally understand. I'll speak to the commercial interest first. So, like I said, the broker representing that Lee's Marketplace is also representing us. He's had plenty of issues with underperforming leases and having issues backfilling those leases. I'm not sure if it's fully occupied. The last I heard, they had two empty spaces. It's not the end of the world. It's normal for people to have turnover. But from his experience, it's been a little bit of a dog for him compared to, he represents a lot of centers in the Washington's front. And it always comes down to the same issues, traffic counts and no prospective room for substantial growth. And Foxborough, I think, is a great microeconomy, and we need to service it the best we can. There are other commercial parcels that exist that will be developed one day with more patient landowners. I'd love to say we're those people, but we're probably more the people that just need to do something. And we want to collaborate with you guys as much as we can, but it's hard to sit on it. Past that, I probably wouldn't say we're in any sort of peak market at all in residential real estate. It's actually one of the slowest home sales markets ever, like 2008, 2009 levels of transactions and by volume. And I think that's pretty well accepted. We are doing well there, though. And so that I'm not going to say we're not. We're selling homes. We've prioritized what we can to make things as affordable as possible. But we're not passing off any of the commercial cost to those homeowners. At some point, in order for us to continue on these homes, and this, again, isn't your problem. So, but we would have to take the commercial as a loss, write it off, let it sit indefinitely, or however long it takes to find the perfect use, and that cost would then be absorbed into the homes of that are next to it. Right now, it's underwritten as the commercial is a standalone, and the homeowners are a standalone. And the McDonald's, that we've heard chatter about the McDonald's a lot and back and forth, and I don't know what's going wrong with that, but it, we keep hearing, oh, it's coming, and then nothing ever actually happens. But it would be great if it came, because that would show a lot of progress for the commercial area there. I do think there's potentially other parcels, but again, first-generation retail is having a hard time right now. You won't see a lot of permits being pulled for that, because construction costs and financing costs are just through the roof, and there's a decent amount of space in that asset class that exists. They consider it a fairly stable asset class in the Wasatch Front, meaning there's as many tenants as there are spaces, and a lot of times people just backfill second-gen space because they own it under a certain price, and they can lease it for less, and to build new stuff, it's really difficult for it to compete. So I don't know if that answers your questions, but that's what we're dealing with.
That kind of leads me to a question, probably more for Sherry, but as a city, how often do you get a chance to talk to, like, the agent that is trying to lease out commercial space and hearing the feedback of the difficulties or the types of commercial that might be approaching? What role does the city and you have in that kind of communication?
We were recently meeting with a broker that's looking at that's marketing the site at on 2600 South, the where that U.S. Bank was, mm-hmm. that's now vacant.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was commenting that he's not really sure why that they've been having problems there. But he wouldn't go into specifics, and I don't know that it was the same broker or anything. But, I mean, for that site on 2600 South where that bank is, they have at least three different interested parties in it. So I know that's a much different site. It's right next to the interstate. But, you know, I don't spend a lot of time talking to very many brokers. We have some brokers call. I had a broker call me a week ago or so who's looking for a site to put a standalone emergency room services. And he told me the acreage that he needed, and I made a little map and showed him some of the sites that I thought might be good fits and included this site too. I was like, I don't know what they're planning on doing for sure. But they may have reached out, they may not have. But in the end, you know, it's just really random. So, and it differs, because we get calls for, you know, I've had some calls for people who want to find out about sites for a hotel. And so we direct them to some sites that we think would be good and some property owners that we know may be interested in selling. But I don't have my finger on the pulse of exactly what the demand is for commercial properties.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? I don't know that we've given you a clear path forward here.
I don't think there is one, so that's just fine.
Well, thank you for coming in, and I think we all like the project and would love to see it succeed.
Go ahead.
One quick thing. we've done a lot of feedback on the pickleball use. What about just moving the commercial to the south? Do you have any feedback on that side of it? Just the consolidation of the commercial to make it a depth and size that's more palatable to a retail user.
Is that with the goal to bring in one or fewer retailers in a bigger space? Is that the goal of that?
Yeah, the goal is to get more depth. We've had a hard time with the users on the north that we've done layouts for with the depth and the size of the parcels. And we're pretty constrained because we've got those townhomes already under construction, and so it's moving that property line at this point is a very difficult thing to do. So the thought was to move it to the south, which we've been told is the better corner by our broker, consolidate to the south, and then renew our marketing and see if it helps.
It does seem like consolidation tends to attract retail, just because, just like the comment, when there's a McDonald's across the street, then, and so it might be harder just from the perspective of trying to entice retail if there's a one little thing here and one little thing there and then one little, versus even more of the double pad, triple pad. I could see where that would be beneficial, actually, in conglomerating retail.
Yeah, because I think it would be helpful if we could separate those two issues out, because we'd like to move the commercial to the south regardless of what your opinions are on the pickleball use. So if we could look at them as two separate things, that would be helpful.
So, Mayor, just because I haven't ever been asked this question, do you mind if I give the council some direction here? I think before we change this general development plan again and allow continued townhome development, which, and our city is not opposed to townhomes, so I wouldn't want you guys to think we're an anti-growth city or anything. We've approved plenty of high-density housing. But I think I would recommend to the city council that we have a much tighter guarantee of what's going to happen on that commercial property. And you, I guess I'm saying this on the record for you, you guys might have to be patient landowners, even though you might not be in a position to do that. It would really be a mistake for us to approve the wrong land use in the middle of a townhome development, which I think, I love the pickleball idea as well. I would love if we could find a site for it, but I think what I saw was a fairly significant incompatibility with the townhomes and a pickleball sort of club, and the fact that it's a club doesn't bother me at all, but we just don't know how busy it would be, or if energetic owners wanted to start having tournaments and really turn it into, if it becomes super popular, then we may have harmed a residential neighborhood that we did not intend to harm. I don't think these guys intend to harm anyone either. It's just, so now you have some of my thinking, but I really think if we're going to change this and authorize more and consolidate on this, consolidate commercial on the south, we'd have to have a pretty tight agreement to make sure the city ends up getting what it really wants to have. And that may take patience on the side of a landowner. So anyway.
So you would recommend that there's further communication between the developer and you and Sherry on the contract side of all of this before it would come to council and any sort of
First of all, I think Brighton should feel free to make that proposal if that's what they wish to do. And I guess I'm just putting it out there for everyone to hear that my position at least would be that we'd have to have, in order to trade, to make that sort of a trade, which is kind of what it is, or adjustment, there needs to be some, there needs to be assurance and maybe more specificity or whatever it is. There needs to be, I think the city needs to be a, come out with a win also. And it's not that, and I love Brighton too. We've entered into many agreements with Brighton, but as Councilmember Van Lankenveld pointed out, we don't, it doesn't often result in what we thought it would in the non-residential piece of those developments. And I think we need to do whatever we can to stop having that outcome and to have the outcome be better. That's, I know that's plain language. I don't mean to be offensive to anybody.
And Brighton's not special in that all the developers do the, nothing turns out the way it's proposed originally.
I think that we're also not singling out Brighton. Yeah. If this was any other landowner, we would make the same.
Yeah. You know what? One comment, though, that I thought was interesting, because I'm sitting here having the exact opposite concern. You know, you're like, what if this is extremely successful and we're impacting the neighborhood? I'm like, what if we have an empty building a year from now and what the for lease sign on it? And
that's a big concern also.
And it's the frontage to the neighborhood.
Yeah. Anyway.
I have one last thing, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
I would say, speaking for myself, as you're going back and looking at plans, I would really hope that the plans really give focus to the intent that this is small neighborhood retail spaces. I don't have a deep concern about consolidating them necessarily, but that it's really serving the local residents first and neighborhood retail. That's all.
All right.
Thank you.
Court, come.
Yeah. I just want to say we'll move forward in good faith as much as we can with all of you guys, and I promise we're not gatekeeping this commercial. If we could have sold it for what we bought it for to the best user out there, we would have. Like, we're trying to come to the table with solutions to a problem that we have, and we're just asking for some collaboration on that. So, appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Our next item is a report on the Health and Wellness Committee. Mason?
Good evening, I'm Mason Bennett. I'm the chair of the Health and Wellness Committee. I've seen the agenda for the regular session, so I'll try and keep this brief, but feel free to ask questions if you like. So this is a report for our 2024 year, but these are our current members we have on the committee. We've got myself, Jeff Skroger, Sam Ball, Christine Siemens, who just joined us, Nicole Whetstone, Council Member Elisa Van Lengeveld serves with us, as well as Ken Leatham and Chief Black as well. So the City Council passed a resolution a few years ago establishing these duties for the Health and Wellness Committee to review research and programs, create strategy. We're more of an advisory committee than anything, so coming up with advisory ideas to present and and share, and then carrying out some of these approved programs and initiatives. So for 2024, in line with these goals, some of the things that we accomplished were in a partnership with Communities of Care and Davis County Behavioral Health, we try to support and promote two classes every year. These were the two classes that we did this last year, Circle Security Parenting and Everyday Strong. We helped promote and support the City Wellness Survey this last year in 2024. We had about 439 responses, which was down a little bit from the first year we did it, which had a little over 600. And the next survey we're going to be promoting is in 2026, so we're doing that every other year. We also enjoy having a presence at the Night Out Against Crime Fair, and as part of an initiative to get people recreating and active, we partnered with the Trails Committee to host three trail events this past year. Additionally, we assisted with Unity in the Community events, trying to provide spaces where people in the community felt unified and welcome. We participated in the South Davis Emergency Preparedness Fair. We made a presentation last year to the City Council on our goals. We had a presentation by the Center of Hope Food Pantry, the local food pantry here, and have been doing or making efforts to try and promote what they do and have efforts to support their efforts to support our community members. We participate in the One Kind Act a Day initiative, including visiting different schools here in the community. There's one more school. We'd love to have you part of it, but we'll see, as well as several social media posts that we've done with that as well. Looking forward, we wanted to focus on these five aspects in things that we researched and promoted, and so I'll go through each of them with our goals for this year. So with physical and mental health, we want to continue supporting classes with communities that care and Davis Behavioral Health. We are trying to increase our outreach with our social media posts to include as well being part of the newsletter, maybe once or twice a year. We're continuing our trail events in partnership with the Trails Committee, and we've also been trying to have some outreach towards Davis, the Davis Health Department, to see if they want to bring out their mobile units to come use some of the city facilities to bring some of their services here closer so that residents don't have to travel so far in order to access those resources. And then we also have a goal. I mentioned the survey, and one of the highest rated concerns on the survey was air quality. And so we're trying to make efforts to educate the public on air quality, including those social media posts, newsletter articles, just educating everybody about, you know, how to have better air quality, what to look out for, and those kind of things to address those concerns. The survey, as I was just talking about, we're trying to use that survey as a driving point to help us create our goals and focus and find out what we need to be focusing on. And like I said, we'll be promoting that next year in 2026. We're not doing it this year. We're also exploring, in the terms of personal wellness, the health and all policies for city ordinances, plans, and policies through the city. With goals with food and housing, that's why we really liked getting to know and partnering with the Center for Hope Food Pantry and trying to promote ways that they can continue doing that. I know the U City Council also does efforts with the Bountiful Food Pantry. And then we're also trying to explore resources and plans to address homelessness. We're not trying to recreate the wheel and recreate those resources, but find ways to direct people to already existing resources, mostly through the county resource that they already have. In addition with that, focusing on addiction, we've been trying to use the city website, again, not to recreate resources, but find ways to direct others towards already existing resources, like this screenshot taken here, for people to find help through the Davis Behavioral Health and other such things. And then our goals with the social media, we've been attempting to have posts monthly, and then we'll consolidate those posts into a newsletter outreach once a year. And those are our goals. One thing that I would like to say is I would like to, you know, express a special thank you to Council Member Lisa Watts-Baskins for allowing me to be part of this committee. I know if my other committee members were here, they'd all express gratitude to everybody. We feel very pleased and privileged to be able to serve our community in a volunteer effort, and we really love being part of these goals and these efforts, so thank you.
Thank you, Mason. Any questions?
I'll just make a comment. Mason serves as the chair of this committee, and he really has brought such a great energy and helped focus our goals into real actionable tasks. That's been really wonderful and has really helped drive the committee forward. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's take a quick break, and we'll start our meeting in 7 minutes.